Well, welcome back to the Halfway There podcast. I'm your host, Nick Hartman, here with my co-host, Brian Holloway. Brian, how's your day going?
Always doing good. I'm just enjoying every minute of it so far.
Yeah, we've gotten to spend a little extra time together today. We went to lunch with a potential new youth leader, and always fun if you're ever looking for ministry opportunities. May we recommend the youth ministry?
Yes. In kind of an exciting, joyful way.
In a non, you know, no, it is an honor to serve. And we had the chance to get back with our youth group this last Wednesday night and got to see a lot of familiar faces as we kind of got back for the school year. And so it was good to see kind of everybody in the room and be together again as we kind of get into those habits and patterns that summer can sometimes disrupt. We had a lot of fun this summer, but I'm excited that the school year's back. So
I am too. I'm glad to get, you know, Wednesday's going again, get started back in the Word, fellowship. It's so fun to fellowship with all the youth and everything and talk about their week and what they're going through and just being friends, you know, talking about the Word and talking about life.
Coming together, right?
Right.
And, speaking of what we're talking about, if you didn't listen last week, maybe this is your first week listening, we've been on a new series called Fear Not, where we're looking about common worries that young people have and kind of establishing what those fears are and how God's character answers those fears. So week one, we talked about the fear of rejection and how God's love is all powerful. You know, you brought up 1 Timothy,
chapter 7.
And I shared kind of the theme verse, which is 1 John 4:18, that perfect love casts out fear. And so today, what we're going to talk about as we're evaluating kind of our conversations is the fear of lost control. And we were making jokes about it. We were like, who wants to drive? And Brian's like, I'll drive because that means I'm in control to lunch today. And so, the fear of lost control is kind of this idea of if we're not the one in charge, if we're not the one calling the shots, if we're not the one who is, you know, making sure that we know what's going on, when it's going on, and have control over that, we're kind of getting into some trouble. And that could be a really anxious thing. So, Brian, how would you define the fear of lost control, or how do you see this kind of played out in the lives of people?
Well, it's kind of like you just mentioned you got in the truck with me to go to lunch. You've got to have some kind of faith in who you're letting control. And God is totally faithful. And you wouldn't have gotten that truck with me if I'd had 5 wrecks this past week, right? So you got to have that faith. You got to have that trust to be able to jump in whatever you're doing, maybe a truck or whatever, to know that you're safe, to know that whoever you're letting, have control, you can depend on them and they're always there.
Yeah. And, you know, we define the fear of lost control as the worry or distress someone feels when they perceive that they're not in charge of their situation, emotion, body, or environment. It's the discomfort with unpredictability, vulnerability, or dependence on others. And I think that definition goes a long ways. It obviously encompasses a lot of things. You know, unpredictability, vulnerability is a big one. Like, can we actually share our hearts with one another, or am I going to be judged? And even this idea of dependence on others, like you said, driving the truck kind of thing. And scripture speaks a lot to this idea of fear of lost control, because all of it goes back to like God is in control. Right. And our worries shouldn't necessarily be rooted in the fact that we're not when God is, right? And we could name hundreds of scriptures that talk about God being in control.
In complete control.
In complete control.
Not just halfway or, you know, for a little time in our life or whatever. He is in control always at all times. And I think you have to have a little bit of wisdom to go along with it, faith, you know, that God will provide and give him that control.
Yeah. And you know, you mentioned the point on wisdom. Wisdom is very important when it comes to control, right? Because there are things that if we're just like, bank accounts or your gas tank or any of those that you're like, I'm driving on empty. Hopefully I get there. You know, that's like unwise, right? But or like if you spend every single dime that comes into your bank account, that's unwise. And so maybe speak to a little bit to this idea of what you've discovered in the difference between wisdom and control, especially when like, what do we give up to the Lord versus like, where do we yield to his wisdom?
Well, I look at it like you were mentioning things. What about jumping off a bridge? We know we shouldn't jump off a bridge. So it's kind of
depends
like,
on if I'm, you know, got a bungee cord or something.
Well,
maybe. You
but
know?
I'm saying no. I'm saying jumping off his bridge. And it's kind of like, okay, God, you're in control. I'm going to jump off the bridge. You catch me.
Yeah.
You know, he gives us wisdom to know not to jump off that bridge. And when we get that faith, that deep faith, he will give us the wisdom that we need to let him take control. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times in life, we want to be in control. It's for various reasons. Hey, I did this. Look what I did. More of a pride issue at that point. Or we could go to, you know, I want him to be in control at certain times. You know, well, I prayed this prayer, but he didn't answer it. So I'm going to take on this project or this issue myself, where we need to look and evaluate. He is in control. It may not be the way we want it to be, but he is ultimately in control.
Yeah. And, you know, the scripture that we looked at was in Isaiah. And Isaiah, if there's anybody who yielded control to the Lord, it was Isaiah, right? I mean, right. You know, we kind of have this sending moment in Isaiah chapter 6 where he says, "Here I am, Lord, send me." And he gets a cherubim puts a burning coal on his lips because he's going to be the one to profess the faith. And Isaiah had to fight against a culture of people who were like, "No, we're in charge, not God," and had to preach to that people. And that is a really interesting place to be. And so I think Isaiah 55 is where we kind of planted in this week. And it reminded us not only of what God says to us and to our people, but it also reminds us some really important things about like what God accomplished that shows us that he's in control, right? And I loved the first part because this was kind of the first text that we looked at, is that there's four invitations in the first verse. Come to me who are thirsty. Come to me, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, right? And pay attention and come to me. Listen so that you will live. And God is promising in these moments like a nature where you didn't just go to the grocery store to buy your stuff. You know, you had to actually work for it. And he's saying, listen, your basic needs, I have them covered. He's saying, listen, the covenantal promise that I made to your fathers about Jesus coming and dying and rising again, I have that covered. And I think that when we look at the fear of control, the first thing that we talked about was like, God invites us to give him control. You know, you had mentioned last week a little bit on our conversation about invitation. We are invited to do things. God invites us to be blank, right? He invites us to make sure that maybe he's giving us the choice, right? So that's another choice. Way to put that. And so I think this is a really interesting thing that comes into this, like God invites us to give him control. So in your life or in your ways or in your studies, what have you seen where God maybe has invited you to give him control?
My life.
You know, I mean, I know you spoke to that a little bit last
week.
Yeah,
you know? I mean, just turning over my life to him to let him use it the way he wants it to be used. And then at that point, seek wisdom. What do you want from me? And then to go along with it, you know, because a lot of times I think God will be, he'll say, I want you to do this. And it's like, whoa, I don't want to do that. You know, give me something else, you know, maybe feel a little comfortable. Get out of your comfort zone, you know, come to the Lord. And I was going to ask you, it says, come to everyone, you know, thirsty, yep. Water. What does it mean when he says, come? What is he saying? Is he saying, pray to me, come to me? What's your definition of come? What is come in that?
With the Lord, you know, I kind of think of Jesus, and one of my favorite verses is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And I think Jesus is reiterating here, come to me, all who are thirsty. And I think when Isaiah speaking on God's behalf or God speaking through Isaiah, he says, you know, come is the active action. It is an action of laying down. And so it could be prayer, or it could also just be, what are you holding back that you need to surrender, right? In this context, come everyone who is thirsty, come to the water. I think the first statement that God's making is like, come draw in, be to the water because you are thirsty. And we know that Jesus calls himself the living water, right? So we have the fullness of that picture. But maybe if I'm sitting in Israel here in this, or Judah here in this, from Isaiah speaking and teaching, I'm like, what does that mean, right? It's like, hey, come to the source, come to the one. And so maybe for them, it was going to Isaiah. For us, it's going to his word. I think word, prayer, worship are all ways that we come to the Lord. I think that's the invitation that we see in the psalm a lot with worship. And so it is a, like you and I draw near to each other by a handshake or a hug or something. I think when it comes to the Lord, it's the folding of the hands, the bowing of the knees, the bowing of the head, and actually having a moment that's more than just praying at lunch or dinner, praying before bed, but a Lord, trust me to give you control.
Well, can't we just come to him every now and then? Maybe one day a week, maybe 2 days a week, or I mean,
you could, but I don't think you're going to benefit from a deeper relationship with the Lord, right?
Or could I just come to you when I'm thirsty? If I'm not, hey, I'm good.
I'm good. I think it's that total surrender. And I think that's why Isaiah is particular about every need that needed to be met, right? And I think when you see those in the first five verses, if you open to Isaiah 55, you see water. Well, we need water to survive.
Right.
And how often do we need water? A lot, especially if we're talking. come buy and eat, right? We need food to survive at least two or three times a day. Come buy wine or milk, right? Those were sustenance. Those weren't sustenance, but they were celebratory things, right? They were part of that. Hey, this is not only is God providing our needs, he's providing our wants too, right? And he's providing them, as it would say, without silver and without cost, right? So it's like coming to the Lord is bringing everything to him, and not just like one day a week or twice a week, but giving it, laying it all out, right? And not just our needs, but our wants too.
It kind of reminds me of camp, the total surrender. You've got to totally surrender yourself. You can't come and just get a drink of water and let's go, or let's get a little food or whatever. It's that total surrender when he is real active in your life. When you just give it to him, he will, you know, he has a plan for you. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's just a lot of truth that could be seen in understanding what God's plan is for us and what he has desire for us, which ultimately is to glorify him and enjoy him and forever, right? And so coming to the Lord is enjoying him. You know, and that moves us to the next point, which was fear of lost control often prevents us from truly following Christ. And I think that ties into what you were saying about like, oh, well, if we just go to God on Sundays or go to God on Wednesdays, we're going to never have the fullness of relationship. And I think, you know, that's a control, right? Like the things that we have control over typically are where our money goes, hopefully, and our schedules, right? And so when we lose control of those, then all of our life kind of gets out of balance and we don't have the time to follow Jesus because we don't have any time. And so I think what Isaiah was getting after on 6 and 7, he says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call to him which is near, and let the wicked one abandon his way, the sinful one his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord so that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will freely forgive. And I think that the fear of lost control gets in the way of our relationship with following Jesus, because we kind of have this like, oh, well, he may not want the worst of me. Or we have this, oh, well, actually, I got other things to do. But there's nothing better to do than following Jesus.
All right, so let me ask you this question. Through faith, I give that control to God. What is expected of me at that point? Because I've given up this control, so what am I waiting for? What do I need to do to progress this? I'll just ask you, Nick.
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes to control and it comes to surrender, right, I think the ideal is that we give everything to God and, you know, don't hold anything back. Typically, what we find when it comes to any Christian is that there's always something. Well, I'll give you control over here, but I don't want to give you control over there. And so I think the first is like really examining our hearts, asking God and having him search the depths of our soul to say, what am I not giving to you? Is it my relationship? Is it my children? Is it my finances? Is it my job? And finding, hey, what have we not surrendered to the Lord? What have we not truly given him? because until we know what full surrender looks like, we're going to always have something that we kind of keep under our belt, or keep under our, you know, under our sleeve. Oh, we always know what the next step is. We always know what the, you know, I always have a backup plan. I think if we always have a backup plan, that's not true surrender, you know? And so I think that's the first thing. And then I think the next thing is just like praying, understanding, you know, your giftings, your passions, your heart, to say, hey, what does look next? Is it serving in missions? Is it serving in ministry? What does that look like for the average person to say, where do I need to surrender a little bit more, right? And is it sports even? Like, do I need to give a little bit up? Am I putting God, or I'm putting this ahead of God, you know, to just making sure that our everything that we say that we confess, we believe aligns with what we confess. Because if we're not giving God control, then it's kind of living in a little bit of a lie, you know, because we can give 95% control, but that's not full surrender.
Well, what if we give him control of, say, 90% of it and hold back the other 10?
Yeah, I mean, think you're going to lose out on the fullness of the blessing of what God has. And that doesn't mean that you're not saved. That doesn't mean that you're not. But I think there is a true scriptural understanding of what full surrender looks like. And I think Jesus talks about it in the Gospels when he says to the rich young ruler, go and sell all your things, give to the poor, and come follow me. And he walked away sad. I think a lot of us are going to walk away sad if we don't actually give God what he's calling us to give. And I don't think we have to like search under every stone to figure out what that is. We know what it is. It's whatever our tendency is when things get tough to turn to. It's whatever our secret sin is. It's whatever is hidden under our hearts that God already knows, but we haven't given up.
Right. We just need to confess it. Yeah. Because God never asked for 90%, 50%, 75%. He says 100%. Yeah. I want you. Yeah. You know, I want you to give me that control so I can work in your life. And it's amazing the blessings and joy when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that, and it's just like, it's hard to describe just the joy of the Lord in you when you do, you know, let him have it. Because if you try to keep it back, that's so much weight on you.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have a God that you can just give it to help you, you know, carry the weight of whatever that you don't want to give up or things like that, it's such a weight lifted off that I don't understand sometimes, and I still do, you know, I have to say, hey, Brad, you need to give God control of that, because I've always been the one to, hey, I'll get it done. I'll do it. I know I can do it right. But now I just let God have it. You know, God, give me the wisdom to, you know, take control of whatever that I need to do, but I'm giving you total control.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you got your wisdom and your faith. Mm-hmm. You got to have the faith to say, hey, God, I trust you with everything.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and you know, the reality is God's already in control. And
right.
So it's more of a posture of surrender that the Lord is waiting for us to give, you know. And that was the last point that we talked about, is that God's already in control. We can trust he will bring us peace. And verses 8 through 13 of Isaiah 55 really talk about that. My thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways are not my ways. This is the Lord's declaration. For just as the rain and snow fall from heaven and do not return to these without saturating the earth and making it germinate and sprout and providing seed to sow and food to eat, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return from me void. And I think that that's just the reality, that, you know, God doesn't think or act in a finite way. He's not confined to the time and space and knowledge constraints that we are. We're limited in perspective. He has no limits. And God's everywhere, right? He's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at all time and all place. And he knows all of these things. And God's higher than all of those things. He's the one who's in control of the rain and the snow and all the things that come before the earth. And so for us, it's less of getting to a place of being like, okay, I'm finally ready to give God control. And it's more of like, I'm just finally ready to give God back what's his.
Right. And that's what I liked about it. I was sitting here thinking, we're worried about giving something to God that God already has.
Yeah.
He already has the control. So it's that point of surrender.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to surrender, to, like you said, yeah. back to him what belongs to him anyway.
Yeah. And Isaiah 55 says, "You will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided. The mountains and hills will break into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Instead of the thornbush, a cypress will come from the ground. Instead of the briar, a myrtle will come up, and this will stand as a monument for the Lord." I mean, that's what total surrender looks like, right? Is that the mountains and hills will break into singing, and the trees will clap their hands, and instead of thorns, a cypress. Like, surrender is the posture that is reminding us that God is in control. And when we live in that, peace abounds.
Right. And as I was doing this study on this little lesson here, I came into Proverbs 3, verse 5 mm-hmm. and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path.
Yeah. And Psalm 119 has a ton of things in there, too, just in terms of, you know, but when we do trust in the Lord with all our heart, right, there's just so much peace to be had, so much hope to be had, so much promise to be had. And I think, you know, the takeaway statement that we gave our students is that when we live constantly trying to stay in control, we miss out on what God can do when he's in control. True peace doesn't come from having a grip on everything. It comes from letting go. And I love that, right? True peace doesn't come from like, what can I do, right? It's that posture of, are my fists clenched before the Lord or are my hands open before the Lord?
Right. And I agree with that. And I guess to close, I wrote down, the Bible teaches that while we have responsibilities and decision-making power, true control belongs to God. Our role is to trust him, steward what he's given us, and surrender the outcome of his will. And that plainly says it right there, you know, just give him what is his.
Yeah.
And acknowledge it, surrender it through faith, and enjoy the rewards.
Yeah. And I think that's the truest statement that people can walk away from. Just give God what's already his.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening today for the Halfway There podcast. As we talked about the fear of lost control. Next week, join us again as we talk through the fear of the unknown and have another great conversation. Brian, thanks again.